The origin of the human race obviously has enormous theological implications. And I am highly concerned about it, but I'm really not aiming to talk about it today. What's happened is that genetics has overturned upside down the whole discussion of it in the last few decades. And genetics is continuing to explode with new techniques and new information. What I really want to do is just talk about the last 5 years or so of updates on things people have already been talking about, like mitochondrial Eve and several other things. Now, my understanding of the theological implications of this, which I don't want to talk about it, but just as introduction, when you read the scriptures and you say this is the structure of the physical world, because of what you've read in the scriptures, what you've done is generated a prediction about the physical world, and if it's a prediction about the physical world, it's falsifiable. If the data doesn't fit it, you've made a mistake. And that doesn't mean the scriptures are incorrect, but it means you got a problem. And there's an awful lot of new data. Theories may be wrong, but data, per se, simple factual information about the world, is information about the creation. And if you've got information about the creation, you have to take it seriously and try to figure out what it means. So I've got enough things that I know I can't talk about them. So what I want to do is tell you what I want to tell you, and then I'll go ahead and tell you as much of it as I can. So I'm going to make 13 statements, and then I will see, I'll try to show you what the data looks like on as many of these as I can. First place, mitochondrial Eve. It's been recalibrated, and the new data is placing the root definitely among the Khoisan people of South Africa, about 180,000 years. Autosomal genetic diversity confirms that. Y chromosome Adam is now dated at least 210,000 years ago, so depending on how the dating is handled. And in Northwest Africa, quite a bit of distance. I think there's a reconciliation for that discrepancy due to people movement in Africa around that era, which I'll talk about a bit. I think it's related to the explosion of the supervolcano at Toba. The rest of the Earth is settled 60,000 years ago. People kind of are aware of that. You may not be aware that there's quite a fractious debate going on right now about whether it really was 60,000 years ago or 100,000 years ago, based on different techniques for dating the mutation rate. The question about how large is the human race, there are continuing calculations about the size of the human race, but the general consensus is the human race has always been around 10,000 individuals. There is very good and very new, as last month, new data about Neanderthals and Denisovans, which does indicate that people from outside of Africa had some interbreeding with them, but not inside Africa. And these are so good, the genome sequences are so good, that we can actually tell what few genes make us different, or what few genes we have that are different than what they had. And that's going to continue to be a large research project in the immediate future. The data can be made consistent with a bottleneck around 150,000 years ago, a bottleneck of a reduced size population, in other words, but you really can't reduce it to two people. The genetics will not permit that. This isn't really new, but the whole question about our relationship to the chimp has been pretty much people know about that. But I will say something about it as a sort of segue to the question about what really does make us different than a chimp, because it's been known since the 1960s in Barbara King's paper that although we are genetically close to chimps, we are morphologically significantly different. And how come? There's something that makes us different, even though our genetics is very close. And I think what that is what's happened to our understanding of the genome, the ENCODE project. The protein coding part of our genome is 1.5% of our genome. The other 98.5% of our genome is not sitting there going along for the ride. It's the program. That's where things are different. And that, I would like to lodge a complaint that as I approach my 70th birthday, my discipline has increased by two orders of magnitude in complexity. It blows my mind what's going on. Forget the central dogma, for instance. Well, never mind. The central core differences that can be deduced about almost every genetic system they look at are alterations in the developmental trajectory of the neurons, which genes are being expressed, and the sheer complexity of connections. And I think this is what's reflected in what makes us look somewhat different than some of the interesting guys on the first slide. You've heard about FOXP2, I imagine, the so-called speech gene. There is new information. Yes, we have the same one that the Neanderthals do, but there's new information yet about some difference in expression on that. And I'll talk about two or three things about that. And finally, I would want to talk about ALUs and the impact of the fact that we have twice as fast a jumping gene insertion rate happening in our genome actively right now as you grow up, as well as your immediate ancestors as the chimps did. I think that's the finger of the shaping of the human race. So that's way too much to talk about. Let me give you some of the data that has accumulated about it. The question about Y chromosomes and mitochondrial DNA, does this actually have a pointer on it? Or does this? Can't really see it, can you? Mitochondrial DNA, the blue ratios, the blue marks there are people outside of Africa. It's been known since the 60s, that's what turned things upside down, that everybody outside of Africa is very closely related, the dark purple bar there, and the African, I mean, everybody else is African. The major branch up there, the left side of that branch is Khoisan people. That was 2008. Is that, I can, about the same. I just didn't trust it too much. But now, so in terms of recalibration, they'd been using as a reference specimen John Bull here, who was nowhere close to the root of the human race. So they've recalibrated. This side is the Khoisan people. There's the Neanderthals over there. This represents all the mutation differences between modern humans and Neanderthals. As you can see, there's quite a few Neanderthal sequences. That recalibration gives us a date for the origin of mitochondria, human mitochondria, in other words, mitochondrial Eve, of about 180,000 years ago. If you look at the Khoisan people, between the Kwi and the southern Khoisan people, the major haplogroups within L0 are close to 100,000 years old. That means that you've had a structured population in South Africa for 100,000 years maintaining genetic differences between tribal groups. That group, people group is 100,000 years old. And a second research project showing the same thing between L0K and L0D, 100,000 years of structured genetic diversity being maintained. So that's mitochondria. There's Eve, mitochondrial Eve. Not the biblical Eve, mitochondrial Eve. Autosomal comes out with much the same kind of information for where our origins are. This is a couple examples using SNPs. The blue bars represent the unique autosomal DNA for the Khoisan people. And as you can, you know, some of the populations are part Khoisan. But if they put that into a tree and they all group off one side, the archaic people in Tanzania, the Hadzu and Sanwi, which also have click language, have small amounts of Khoisan DNA. And everybody else, all the other African people and everybody outside of Africa is on the other side of the family. Likewise, again, the same kind of a thing. Central Africans include pygmies. The Khoisan people split off from everybody else at 100,000 years. That's autosomal, so it backs it up. It looks like we are South Africans a long time ago. But Y chromosome atom. 2008, it was clear that It was clear in 2008 that the deepest roots were African, but they were just barely deeper than the groups that came out of Africa, the ones with the blue circles. However, within the last 5 years, there's been a series of discoveries of additional men with Y chromosomes that are more and more and more and more distant from the ones that we've already discovered. The latest one being one African-American gentleman whose DNA led them to go back, matched nobody. It led them to go back to Africa looking for people that he matched. They found a tribal group that had related DNA. I mean, that's him. That's the people from the tribe. This was the previously deeper group, but that was... So what's happened is gotten deeper and deeper to the point where then they're the people who have this very distant DNA are the Mbo people in Northwest Africa, which is nowhere close to South Africa, which doesn't make sense because now we have two locations for the human race to have appeared or to have developed. I think the reason is, as I said, people movement. This also demonstrates another debate going on, and that is, notice the two different dates they give to it, 209, 338,000 years ago. That's related to two different dating methods, which are being pushed by two different groups. The more distant time is dating based on counting mutations within the present generation of human beings. The other date was using the dating of fossil groups, from orangutans down and so forth. And that debate continues with the basic issue. If it's the older dates, it means people left Africa probably 100,000 years ago by the north route. And if it's the later date, they left Africa by the southern route, the southern route being across the Gates of Grief here at the end of the Red Sea and over that way. The two groups are highly passionate and continue to publish multiple papers looking at genetic data, looking at the archaeological data. And we'll see where that goes. This particular paper showed that the correlation between recombinant diversity, you get a better match if you're going by the southern route. Svante Paul, if that's how you pronounce his name. In other words, I haven't talked about anything. Okay. Okay. This is dating mitochondrial DNA using ancient modern people. It suggests that the faster or the more recent dates are correct. This is dating people out of Africa based on their haplogroup and only arising at 70,000 years. So what could explain the fact that they are in different positions? I think that what happened is, if you look at those two pictures of Africa, during maximum glaciation, Africa looks like the left. During periods, interstatal periods, when it's cooling down, it looks like the right. Grasslands across the Sahara. So when the world starts to warm up, if everybody's down here in South Africa, they come up and spread across the Sahara, and they did, and there's good, we know they did. And when it collapses again, they're forced out. And the evidence that, well, that's another little thing. How do we know when we've started to wear clothes? Well, we really don't, but we do know when the body lice found a habitat and were able to split away from head lice. About 150,000 years ago, about the time of the penultimate glaciation. In any case, 80 to 100,000 years ago, the Atrian culture was across the Sahara using beads, tanged points, and when they, at the end of MS5, that disappears entirely. And it isn't just that the world is cooling off, it's that this event happened. Toba exploded. It's that much bigger than Tomora. It threw the whole world into about 1,000 years of glacial winter. It shut down the Sahara overnight. And that population, which was as sophisticated as any on the world at that time, went somewhere. It did just, I don't think they just sat there and died. I think they went south. And I think in going south, they displaced all the males across the south of Africa. So you've got the mitochondria of the women from the ancient population, but you got the Y chromosomes from the North Africans, which came south. My hypothesis about that. Across the world, that's the pattern of migration. First across Africa, then across the Gates of Grief, along the Indian Ocean, arriving in Australia 50 to 60,000 years ago, then north from the Middle East 40 to 50,000 years ago, into Europe, across Asia, and then into the Americas. Shown by haplogroup, the length of haplogroups in Africans is short, which means they've had longer to mix their genomes than people out of Africa. Same kind of data in different populations shows that if you use that to calculate population size. In terms of population size, there's recent estimates for the average population size of the human race. It's a probability calculation, which is you make assumptions about various things. You can also calculate times in the past. From the discovery of the Denisovans, this was a calculation of assumed population sizes toward the past. Does suggest a reduced size population back at an earlier point. And it's possible that, well, see, there is a mystery. The Y chromosome in mitochondrial trees are too short compared to the autosomal trees. And Blum and Jacobson are saying that what the model which best matches that is either that there was a back here, there is a bottleneck, a reduction in the population, or multiple population sizes, multiple populations, only one of which really left most of the descendants. So I need to stop. And I didn't think I'd be that far off, but oh well. The PDF doesn't have the figures, it has the bibliography and a description of what's in the bibliography. So you can go to those places and find these figures and read the papers. I thought that would be the most useful thing to have in that. I don't know anything about it. Have they done any genetics on them?
Yes, and they've also done comparisons of scripts. I'll talk to you about it, but I just...
Okay, well, there is some... there is a proposal that that some of the archaeological... the certain pre-Clovis Lasaltrian points indicate a European... European origin for some parts of the American population. Well, that's kind of the other direction.
Exactly, but they're saying that they're from their Nilotic origins, they went two directions.
And the Nilotic origin is kind of hard to fit with it, too.
Yeah, exactly, but I'll talk to you about it.
Okay.
There's some interesting things that are being researched with that.
Yes.
Is there still life in the debates between multi-regional and out of Africa, or is that settled, or is it just much more complex?
It's more complex. It's clear that there are, there is interbreeding. We have really good data now for Neanderthals and Denisovans. So it's pretty clear that all out of Africa populations have about 3.5% Neanderthal genes. One particular group of people, the oceanic peoples, Australia and so forth, have Denisovan input as well, about 5%. In that sense, there's a multi-regional aspect, but I think that the idea that the local populations are the major source for out of the populations of China, Europe, et cetera, is dead in the water. We are basically African, even if we've had a small amount of input, not enough input really to change our biological characteristics too much. In fact, if you would look at a Cro-Magnon, he would look a lot like us, but he would look, if we saw him, I think we would think he was an African, because the lighter skin tones come from a selection for reduced melanin production, which happened over the course of the last 20,000 years of 30,000 years of people living in northern latitudes. It's not the original state of the original European population.
Yeah, I'm interested in the kind of climatic connections that you were making. And it's one thing I haven't heard a lot about. It's not an area that I'm keeping up with. But how much is the literature dealing with the origin and early migration of human populations?
Well, it's beginning to be discussed. It's being discussed quite a bit and argued about a lot. In other words, I mean, this is what I think fits it together better. But
yeah.
This is by no means the only and dominant position on it.
No, I like your suggestions. It seems to me that would be a logical.
Well,
there
has to be some reason for it. It seems to me like that would explain that. It may also explain, I mean, the fact that there's only 2 to 3% Neanderthal may also be related to some of this same process. There's a whole series of different ideas about, how did the interbreeding take place? There's 4 different hypotheses for where, when, and how. And the problem is that you can't just have modern humans come out of Africa and just interbreed freely with the Neanderthals. If they do, particularly as you sweep across an area, you pick up additional archaic genes, you surf more and more archaic genes, and you end up at the other end of the migration with a mostly archaic population. Because the part of the population, if you have a spreading population, the part that's growing rapidly is the front edge. And the front edge is the part that's interbreeding with the locals. So it becomes more and more like the locals. And that's not what we see. We see about the same amount throughout the non-African population. Initial suggestion is all the interbreeding took place when they first came out of Africa there in the Middle East. And then it didn't happen anymore. Other suggestions are that the level of fertility, either pre or post-reproductive, was so low that it was like a 0.1%. One couple per 77 generations of, you know, very, very, very low fertility. But certain genes became really common. And the HLA, some of the HLA genes in non-African populations are probably from the archaic. Some of the very common HLA antigens are probably archaic HLA genes because they would have been highly preferred for defending people against the local diseases, you see. The HLA antigen series is under very strong selection for diversity and maintains high levels of diversity that way.